Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Wednesday night, the Timberwolves return to these airwaves. 6 o'clock against Toronto. And away we go. Joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, guy that I've wanted to talk to for a long time because I've long admired his body of work. I think sometimes we tend to easily gravitate to the team that wins the state tournament, but the coaches that I always study and watch and find fascinating are the ones that are good every year, especially in greater Minnesota, because outside the metro, you do not get an influx of talent just because you want it. You can't talk somebody into coming over and playing at your school. You can't drop veiled hints that you could play a lot here. You get what you get, and you coach them up as best you can, and you hope that that's good enough. And I always think the mark of a great team isn't how many championships they win. It's that how good are they year in and year out and how competitive are they. Annandale has answered that call for years and years and years, in large part because Skip Dolan has been the head coach. And he got that coveted state championship this past weekend on Saturday with a win over Minneapolis North after they beat Caledonia the night before in the semifinals. Coach, congratulations.
No, thanks, Mike. Thank you very much.
What was this one like? What did it feel like when you got there this year?
Well, you know, with the journey, you know, was kind of the same, getting yourself through the section and stuff like that. But then when we saw that we were going to have to get through Caledonia and through North to get there, mm-hmm. we thought, well, either we're going to get beat by a very good team or we were going to legitimately be able to say we were the best team in Class 2A because we would beat two of the best programs and best teams in the state.
Okay, so you're up against Eli King, who's considered one of the best players in the state, going to Iowa State, long resume, et cetera. As a coach, you see he's athletic. You know he's going to get the ball a lot. He's going to have it in his hands a lot. What do you do strategically when you play against a kid of that caliber?
Well, you study the tape because in today's day and age, you exchange a lot of tapes and stuff and that, but you start to realize how quick his hands are and how explosive he is to pick passes off, go get the ball, and how explosive he is to come from behind and block shots. So, you know, we really stressed and we worked on, you know, we just can't let him get turned loose and let him get up on those monstrous ducks and dunks and stuff, because what we saw often was he was getting about 4 or 5 of those dunks a game, but mainly because his hands are just so quick and so explosive. So we really tried to negate the fact that he was going to get at some one of those transitions.
And so you do that by what, ball fakes or what? You try to get him to commit to where he wants to go before you make a move? How do you do that?
We did a lot of spacing. We worked on a lot of spacing. We tried to get him, you know, maybe a little bit stretched to the corner when we could. But just really concentrate on being extremely careful with the basketball all the time. The one thing about our group, you know, for years have been, you know, again, a little bit staying smaller. Our kids, you know, they like the weight room. They're strong with the ball. They very rarely get the ball ripped away from them. And we just concentrated on just making good choices.
Skip Dolan is our guest. Annandale wins the state championship. He's the head coach. I want to know more about this Ghanaian kid, though. because when he walks on the floor, he's not the most intimidating. And he put on a show Friday night, man, 7 3-pointers, and just to see the confidence that he plays with. But above and beyond that, Coach, I mean, that's an inspiration for the kids out there that say, oh, basketball, you got to be this, you got to be that. No, you don't. I mean, this kid lit it up. And who is he? What's he all about?
Yeah, you know, first of all, he's a son of a coach's kid, you know, that yep. Came from over at Howard Lake back in sixth grade, and that he's lived in the gym, you know, just spent a lot of time shooting the basketball, handling the ball. But, you know, what he is, he's also that coach on the floor. He's the kid that, you know, I just have to look at and relate to, and I take every suggestion says, and look into whether what he's seeing is what I'm seeing. And at some point in time during the course of a game, I try to get him off because he's so unselfish. He doesn't really say, I need to score on this basketball team there, because we've got a lot of different kids that are let us in scoring that. But in that particular game, we kind of ran a quick set for him to try to get him off to start the second half. And then once he hit one, then we got a couple other little wrinkles that we like to try to get him another quick look or two. And, man, he just... You know, I called it the Carson bombs, because they were bombs in both ways. He was kind of blowing the gym up and they were downtown shot.
Yeah, I mean, a night he'll just never forget, obviously. But do you, as a coach, if you have a really good shooter, can you always get them shots? Should you be able to strategically, if you got a great shooter, forget their size, forget whatever, should you be able to design something to get them shots?
I think, you know, what you do, at least what I do, okay, is you design things to get him shots or to slip for somebody else to get an easy one going to the basket. So, a lot of times you'll have your really good shooter set some back picks and stuff to get somebody an easy shot, or they'll set a pick for him. And if they don't switch off on him, he gets his shot. But if they start switching off, we do quick slips. And, you know, and that's where, you know, Miller and Spalding and them at times, and Robert Olson on some of those dunks, and that all of a sudden they just kind of free up. And that's just because Carson's drawing so much attention.
Yeah, but you have to have basketball IQ to recognize that, too, because it's easy sometimes to try to force it because you believe in it. And when I watch your teams, I don't know how many are set plays or how many are called up, but the spacing's always really good, and the movement's always really good. And that tells you that some of that, yeah, you can call it a play and it's going to do this and that, but a lot of it has to do with having a basketball IQ and recognizing the situation and maintaining space and all those things. And you have long done that in your program. Does that come from them just playing a lot of basketball in the summer? Does that come from you giving them the freedom to read? What is that?
You know, the commitment in our program is tremendous from all the way on up. This particular group have been, you know, my top six kids were all seniors. They played together, you know, forever. But yes, it's repetition. I'm a big repetition person, you know, as far as, you know, you have to own the offense or own the play. I'm more sets than a continuous offense and stuff like that. And you have to own those. So that part becomes second nature. Okay. When that part becomes second nature and you can just play basketball and you own then that part of it, yeah. Then, so that's what we do. We just work hard on that aspect of the fact. And then, like you said, we do a lot of spacing. We work hard on our spacing and that to try to keep things so they can't bring traps to us or double up on somebody and that unless they're going to give us up another space.
Yeah, and that's a big key because you see sometimes teams, when they get in trouble with the trap and then they run to the ball and then it gets worse, you know? And if you have the poise to keep the spacing, a lot of times you can work it out.
Exactly. And then, you know, we were very fortunate this year that we had, you know, a 6'7" kid, you know, that I called my point forward. And another thing that went to many years ago is we play positionless basketball. We don't call our guys point guards or shooting guards or wings or foot. We're positionless basketball. Everybody's expected to dribble the basketball. Everybody's expected to shoot the three and take to the basket. Even Carson and Bryce are expected to sometimes flash down low and post once in a while and stuff like that. You know, you got to be able to do all aspects of the game if you really want to be a complete basketball team.
Skip Dolan is our guest. So does that mean that, you know, the kids that are coming back next year, et cetera, they don't have to sit and think about, oh, I'm the fourth guard on the team, even though I might be the fourth best player, I'm not going to play then because you're not afraid to play five guards or five forwards or whatever it is?
Exactly. Next year we're going to be a totally different looking basketball team. Yeah, we had the 2-5-9 guards that were extremely quick. And by the way, to throw Bryce Fulby and Ganyu Bolton, both locked down defensive players at their size. They feared nobody to defense it up. And we played five out. We played the bigs. We've done whatever back in the day, you know, whatever. We won a basketball game, Mike, and scored 58 points in overtime, won the game, and we didn't make a two-point shot. We had a three, and everyone else made a shot free throws.
Really?
Yep. Pav from over at Delano, he says that's his trivia question every time he goes up on a hunting fishing trip. He's got a trivia question for you. That was against Litchfield, against John Carlson's group.
John, oh boy, that's a group, man. It's been 20 years now, I know, but they had one of the all-time great teams to come through. I think it was 2001 when they did it.
Yeah, they sure did. I learned a lot from John and that group, you know, as I progressed forward.
Yeah, but Annandale, though, I said this earlier at the outset, you guys have been good every year, and that's hard to do in a small town because there's an ebb and flow with the classes that you get, and you might have 2, 6, 7 kids in your class, and they may have zero interest in playing basketball, but you're not going to get a plethora of 6, 7 kids. You got to hope that the ones that you get want to play basketball and can play basketball. To me, that's the hallmark, is that you guys every year are competitive, and every year you're making a run at state and all those things. How do you build that? Does it take on a life of its own once you get to a certain point?
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Mike. And once we got it to a certain point, it takes on a life. We tell our kids all the time about a lot of different aspects of our culture, okay, and our character and stuff. When people come back into the gym, they expect their kids to act and behave a certain way. They expect them to play the game a certain way. I think the biggest thing we always hear is how hard our kids work when they're on the floor. But, you know, bottom line is, you know, I know we want to play defense, and this group was the reason they won a state title was because they dug in defensive end. But I always say the game was invented for the ball to go through the basket, and you got to put a lot of time in. It makes my job a lot easier when people can score.
Yeah, don't you think, too, though, and I've always thought this about great coaches, and especially veteran great coaches, is just to your point, what you said is the longer you do it, maybe the more you realize that ball's got to go through that hoop, and we can get as fancy as we want, and we can talk about trap this and trap that. But if you develop shooters, and then the second part of that is if they're relaxed enough in a game that they can access that and be the shooter that they are, you're going to win a lot of games and bail yourselves out a lot of situations.
Yeah, you know, you've seen a lot of basketball like I've seen a lot of basketball, and probably one of the biggest changes has been you could have way back in the day just said, we're playing defense, and we can go a long way just playing defense, maybe win championship. Now, your best defensive player on a team against the best offensive player on the other team, a lot of times that offensive player in today's day and age is just too good.
Yep.
So you got to have offensive players that can beat the other team's best defense, and there's going to be a lot more kids out there. As you know, we're putting out a ton of those kind of kids in the state of Minnesota to move on to the next level. So, yeah, it's about, you know, your offensive skills got to be there. I always tell my younger coaches and that when they're bringing them up, I said, I can teach them to play good hard-nosed defense in 1 year. I cannot teach them to shoot and dribble in 1 year. I said, those two things we've got to have developed and have done before they get to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like you can take a kid and make him a football player, but not a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? You can't learn to read the defense a lot, but you can make him a football player. You can put him at linebacker. Now, you got to the championship game against Minneapolis North, and North with a lot of sentiment and obviously an adversity-filled season for different reasons off the court that they didn't control. What was that like?
You know, the first thing I did is I walked right over to Larry and shook his head, said the respect I had for him and his program and for how his kids have handled, anytime you're part of a team and that, and you lose, a young man inside that team, senselessly and stuff like that, it's just hard. It just can rip a team apart. So I give him so much credit. And all the other things I see Larry try to do to develop these young men and stuff like that. And I hope that, inside my program, we try to do the same thing. And then when it got right down to the basketball game, we knew again that we had to control their overall intense and scrambling, trapping, and getting up and down the floor. And, for the most part, we did that. They had us in the run there a little bit to start the first 6 minutes or so, at the 6 minute mark or so, and that. And then we kind of switched over to a zone, and that I thought we kind of bogged them down a little bit, slowed them down. They kind of quit going downhill, and I think that allowed us to get back in the game.
Now you go to the off season. What's your feelings on AAU for your players? How do they go about their business in the summer?
Well, we got some kids. We got a few kids that do the AAU. Okay, you know, I try to you know, there's basketball tournaments everywhere for my high school kids. Okay, and if they want to invest in the AAU part, you know, that's totally up to them. But I give them a list of 25 tournaments that are out throughout the summer, all summer long, and so they will look at the 25. They'll check them all off. If they're going on vacation, I tell them, go on vacation. You're doing this, doing that. Then out of those 25, I'll try to get 6 or 7 of those tournaments where they'll all be there. So we're all developing that. But if they're going to a church camp or they're going somewhere else, and that, do it. You know, go do some time, be some family time. But when we're going to go to tournaments, we're going to all be there, and we're going to all be developing at the same time. So that's kind of the way I do it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, Skip, that's changed over the years is who'd have thought we'd seen a day. You know, it used to be the off season, coaches couldn't touch them. You're on your own. You could go to the Jim Dutcher camp or nothing. You know, was the extent of developing outside playing pickup basketball. But now everybody's all in if they want, right?
Exactly. You know, and that is the big difference. You know, Mike, by the time I come out of my summer, I pretty much know exactly which direction I'm heading with this particular basketball team. Now, take next year, for example, we graduate all the seniors. I got a lot of underclassmen coming in. I'll run a team camp for the first week coming out of the summer. We'll kind of put in what I think the direction I want to go. And then throughout those 6 tournaments and stuff, and we have what we call a breakfast of champions in the morning from 6:30 to 8 o'clock mornings a week. And that, and they show up. And by the time I come out of summer, I've really kind of weeded out, oh, that was a good idea to start with, Skip. It wasn't a very good idea at the end of summer and stuff like that. And I just weed those things kind of out. So we are so far ahead. Instead of, I used to go into a season, and after 2 weeks of just doing this, I went to my first game, and I went, oh, boy, that was a waste of time on that and on that and on that, you know, and having to throw that out. Now by the time usually I come out of summer, that's pretty much all been sorted out.
Now, was Ben Grieve an outstanding shooting guard, or where'd you play him?
You know, Ben, I just got a text from him congratulating, and from Dave too.
Dave, your longtime assistant.
Yeah, longtime assistant. He's down in Arizona golfer.
Oh gosh, he's not coming back in the winter, is he?
No, Ben was one of the best pure shooters I had, and one of the better pure jump shooters I had. He was just a real scorer. And then of course Lindsay came into our gym. You know, she always went the unnoticed and stuff, but we'd sneak them in there and stuff, and they would play and stuff like that. So yeah, that was a good connection between those two getting together, and it was a good connection for Annandale.
For sure. Skip, congratulations, and congratulations on just an unbelievable career besides this week's tournament, which is a cherry on top, but I know the real joy to you is in just teaching and coaching all the time. So congratulations on all you've done for those young men out there and for what you've done for Annandale.
Well, Mike, I just can't. You guys that are covering these high school sports and the positivity that you do that with, it's just something we just badly need in our society and stuff like that. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Back at you. Skip Dolan, head coach at Annandale, state champions on Saturday in Class 2A. But every year, you just don't want to play Annandale, and you certainly don't want to play them during the tournaments. When we come back, I'll talk about some of that, those kids in the evolution of basketball in Minnesota. I saw something yesterday that I just couldn't believe on the basketball front. I'll share it with you when we come back. Welcome back to the Big Show. Mike Max Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Yesterday I went over and I watched the Sizzle, which there's a number of summer basketball teams that kids can try out for, and I mean it really is a fascinating study if you ever look at it, because you know different programs offer different things, and you know you might not make one team, you might make a lower team, or you might not make a team at all, and some travel all over, some don't, all that stuff isn't playing the AAU circuit. But I went over there to Sizzle, and Larry Suggs was giving the dissertation to the kids, and Larry Suggs is Jalen Suggs' father. So he was talking about, you know, how Jalen did it to get, you know, first round pick of the Orlando Magic, etc. And obviously these kids aren't going to be the next Jalen Suggs. There's some really good players there, but he talked to him about what it meant to work and how you can't just think you're a good player, and how showing up, I don't want to hear, he'd say, how many hours you spent in the gym and all this and that. What'd you do while you were there? Not just how many hours were you there, what'd you do while you were there to get better? And it was interesting to watch him. And he's been doing this 30 years. And what's cool about his program is they don't cut anybody. And so, you know, you can play. Now, the levels, you know, obviously vary quite a bit. But the kids come from all over and they want to play in that, and they want to play in these different programs. And he just looks them right in the eye and says, basically, no excuses. This is what you got to do if you want to be good. Don't tell me what you want to be. What are you going to do to get better? And he doesn't mince words when he does it. And obviously, he's got the proof in the pudding with the 30 years of running this AAU plus a son that's a first-round draft pick. But it was really interesting to listen to him. And I thought, these kids need to hear more of this stuff because, again, we need our kids to be tough so that one day they're tough when they get old and they run this country. When we come back, Leah Bergen Olsen, what's cooking with the women's Final Four? Big event coming up Thursday. We'll talk U Sports with her as well. She follows it. She has a blog on it, all kinds of things. That's straight ahead on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the Big Show. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, one of my all-time favorites, Leah B. Olsen. How are you?
Hey, Mike Max. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
All is well. It's the week leading into the NCAA tournament, so life is good.
Yes, and Paige Becker's team is ahead by just 1 point now in the fourth quarter, so we got a good one brewing there as to whether or not she comes back or not. Hey, who is your – I have a question for you. I never asked this before.
Okay.
Like, who was your favorite player when you were growing up? Was there someone that you really admired in the women's game when you were going through high school and college?
You know what's so crazy about that, Mike, is that I didn't really have anyone on the female side. I watched all NBA.
Sure. Obviously, if you don't have, at the time, a WNBA, you're going to watch the NBA, right?
Exactly. So I loved hoops, and so I watched all the guys, and so I was, a big, Magic Johnson fan, and, of course, a huge, huge, Michael Jordan fan.
Yeah.
And so, as the WNBA came in, and then I started watching more college basketball, Lisa Leslie has always been one of my just very favorites. Because I love how dominant she was on the court, but then, away from the court, super classy, always shows up the right way, and I just think is just a fabulous role model.
Yeah, she has been throughout the course of time, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's just been consistent in who she is. And one of the things I liked back in the day when I was interviewing her those first years of the WNBA is she would ask, you would ask for the interview right at the end of practice. And she would say, just give me a couple minutes so I can, brush my hair and prepare myself for the interview. So she just wanted to always present herself in a certain way.
Yeah, she thought about it. She cared. Yeah.
She cared enough, yeah. And so I always just liked that about her. And then she's just been consistently that person.
That's cool. I mean, that's when you meet people like that. That's kind of fun, and you tend to cheer for those people throughout. Now, this is a big week. There's a lot of things going on. But you got a big event for Wayne Kostrowski that you're involved in on Thursday, right?
Yeah, it's really going to be cool. It's called Taste of the Twin Cities, and they're bringing in all these women chefs from top restaurants in the Twin Cities, and then they're bringing in, big time Minnesota women athletes. So I'm sure we'll see some Lynx players in there, and college athletes, and women from back in the day, and then women executives from all types of leadership areas in Minnesota. So it's just going to kind of be heavy hitters coming together to raise money for M Health at Fairview, which is just an amazing cause. And so I think it's just going to be super fun, but a super good time had by all, but a great, great cause.
Yeah, Wayne doesn't, if he does it, he usually does it right, man. It's good food, everything's on point. We've all been to well-run banquets and poorly run banquets. You and I have seen a lot of both,
exactly.
Right? And Wayne doesn't have a poorly one. That's not part of his deal.
Nope.
If he's going to do it, he's going to do it really well,
Yeah, he is super sharp and super organized. I mean, he called me to be in this probably 6 months ago.
Yeah, that'd be Wayne,
that wanted to hold the date and then wanted to know who do I need to know when the world of women's athletics and who can I connect with who, and can I entertain a table? So it's just, he does an amazing job of organizing, and it's just such, it's a great cause. But it's, again, it's kind of all feeds into this great week leading into the tournament.
Leah B. Olson is our guest, and obviously the women's Final Four will be here this weekend. They're playing down tonight, the final two spots in that. And NC State has just opened up a four-point lead, small lead, over UConn in the fourth quarter.
I know, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, they hit a big three there to take a four-point lead, and that, you know, they don't look too bad. They play pretty good defense, and UConn's one of their key players got hurt earlier in the game and is out.
Well, and it's a hard thing when you get, you know, you find out you're getting the Final Four here, and then you have Paige Beckers, and you just, at the very start of this, Mike, you just pray, let Paige Beckers make it to the Final Four.
That's all we got here, right? I mean, in terms of, you know, link, you know, Creighton had a couple players from here, but they got bounced, you know?
But they're out, yeah. Exactly. So, and obviously, you know, whoever shows up, it's going to be, you know, the best basketball in the country, but it's Paige Beckers with just that connection. I just think that would be so fun. So that's who I'm rooting for.
Okay, but I want to ask you a question along those lines, because okay. We had Pam Borton on yesterday, and she talked about, you know, there needs to be more parity in the women's game. And here we go. We've got two in. They're both number one seeds. It's a one against a two here and a one against a three, I think, in the other yep. one tonight. We love St. Peter's story, right? We love the story of the darling in the tournament.
You
and
do.
You know, the men's Final Four, it's four blue bloods, so four, you know, basketball schools. But many times you'll get Loyola or somebody will make the run like St. Peter did this year. Why don't we see that in the women's game more?
Well, you're starting to see it now, and I think it's really just based on as programs build, right? So we're seeing women's basketball get better and better, and we've certainly seen that in the WNBA, and now we're starting to see it in college basketball. And so, you know, we saw Iowa have a great year and upset a whole bunch of people this year, though Iowa State, those types of teams. I mean, that would have, you know,
South Dakota obviously happened. Made a splash, you know.
They sure did. And Maryland's really good. I mean, so there are other teams out there, but we have to get better players across the country and then lift everybody up. And then now it's like not everybody wants to go to UConn because guess what? There's a lot of other good coaches, a lot of other programs. We happen to have one right here with Lindsay Whalen. Mm-hmm. So I think just we needed that time to build girls basketball up so we can get those talented athletes, enough of them, so you can spread them around the country and not just send them all to UConn or Tennessee or Stanford, you know?
Yeah, you get the feeling that if UConn's split their team up, they'd both be in the region finals or NC State. You know, that's what you feel like, right? Because
exactly.
They're going to get the top 10 players or the top 11 players on their roster.
Right. And I will say this, like one thing Coach Reeve always says about players that come out of UConn is they come out of UConn pro ready. I mean, they're so well coached.
Yep.
And I think that's the other piece that we're starting to get in women's basketball. And obviously we've had it, but we're getting more of it, is qualified coaches that can coach at all different kinds of schools. So it's not just going to be Gino Auriemma.
Right.
And,
yeah. It's,
you know,
it's a coach's Auriemma. Game right now. Yep. Vanderveer.
Yeah.
Ariano, you know, you say
Vanderveer.
The names, right? Yep.
I mean, Tara Vanderveer has been there since I was playing.
Yeah.
She has been holding that down forever, which is fabulous. But now we're starting to see the young bloods coming through and new, you know, WNBA players like Lindsay Whalen, all these type of players coming in to help lift the game.
Yeah.
So it's just getting better and better. And in our lifetime, we're seeing it escalate. And we'd like to see it go faster, but it's moving.
Leah, you do a lot with youth sports. You studied a lot. You had kids that participated in a lot. Now we're going into the spring and summer season where youth sports are, you know, whether it's AAU or you're playing summer baseball, you've seen all of it, volleyball, whatever it is, it's youth sports.
Yep.
At the start of a season, a kid not knowing where they're going to stack up on that team, whatever that team is, what do you think their goal should be when they get done with the season? Their goal and the coaches and parents' goal for that kid?
Well, I think first and foremost, like what I always say to parents is ask your athlete, do you want to continue to play that sport? And don't just assume it. And as a parent, try not to just make that decision for them. Ask them, do you want to play, you know, baseball this summer? If the answer is yes, then the second piece is, okay, how much time and energy do you want to put in it? Because that's going to determine probably where you're going to end up on that next team, right? And so I think it's important for kids to know that, like, they can control the time and the energy and the attitude that they bring to the game. And so that's taking the time to sit outside and dribble with your left hand all summer that no one wants to do, or put those shots up that no one ever wants to do. But those are the things that determine, really determine what level that you'll play at for the next season. And I feel like a lot of times parents think it's just, you know what, if we get all the equipment and we want our kid to play, he's going to be able to play, or she's going to be able to play on whatever team he wants to. And it just doesn't work like that. We have more kids going out for youth sports than we ever have. And so if you want to get onto those good teams, your kids have to commit to it. And not just the parents committing to it, because parents do commit to it, right? You've done it, the time, the traveling, the money. There is a huge commitment by a parent, but that's not really about what the athlete is doing. And so I always think, you know, think about that off season as your time to recommit to your sport and what you want to do with it and how you can improve. You can improve all by yourself, sitting outside doing whatever you need to do. And those are the small things that will help kind of figure out where you belong in the sport.
Somebody told me this, and it's true for basketball for sure, but probably true for just about every sport. They said if you're entering into this summer thing for the first time and you don't know mm-hmm. exactly how it works, and so you assume everything's equal, it's not. They said the two questions you need to ask, and I'll use this for basketball, but it probably goes beyond, is roster size. Yes. How many kids are you going to carry? Because if it's going to be a 13-person team in basketball, you're not going to get the playing time that you thought you were, number one. And number two, mm-hmm. who's the coach? Is the coach a parent? Is the coach someone? What's their background? Did they play college? Do they know the game? Who's the coach? Mm-hmm. And how big is it? Because if you only got seven kids, I know I'm going to play a lot, and that makes me happy, right? But if you got 13, I don't know how that's going to work. And I think those are two really good questions to start with.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think, you know, a lot of it, too, depends on that age breakout, right? Because we hope for our very youngest athletes, you know, that they're all playing and getting a lot of time. As you get older and it starts being based on how good you are, then you hope you get on a squad that has a coach that's been trained a little bit to know what's appropriate and how to coach young people. You know, their young people need to be coached differently than adults, and they need to be coached differently at different ages. And so I think making sure that your coaches are appropriate for the ages that you have is really key. And that roster size is an important one. And let's face it, sometimes you can't control those things. Right. And so you kind of have to make that decision on the front end, like, ooh, I'm getting onto this big roster. Do I still want to be part of that, even if I'm only going to play not as much as I want?
Yeah, and then I guess the other part would be, you know, that we talk about with, especially with summer teams, is how much practice time are you going to get? Because I've seen I've been involved in this thing long enough now, as you have to know, that I've seen teams and had – kids on teams where, boy, they played a lot of games, and boy, they didn't get much better because they didn't practice at all. They just played games, and it sounds good, you know, because who wants to practice when you can play games? But it doesn't look very good.
Right. I remember Mike talking to Flip Saunders about this way back in the day, and he was saying that when he was getting players at the NBA level, that he was having to coach some basic fundamental stuff, even
at the NBA level.
Couldn't believe it because they hadn't been coached that. They hadn't been coached that in AAU. And then if they're in the NBA, they probably didn't spend a lot of time in college, right?
Yep.
So it is amazing how, like, just playing games doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting better. It means you maybe just played a lot of games with a lot of the same bad habits.
Right, and nobody told you because the coach didn't know or didn't want to spend enough time correcting it. And so There you go. You know, and you end up looking like you look. Because I had this conversation last night. I was talking to somebody about a baseball season in the summer. And I said, if you didn't want to play baseball for the summer, but you want to commit yourself to training, could you get better than if you played all the games? And he said, without question, you could. If you have the right commitment and you straighten out all your bad habits that you don't realize that you're in without playing a game in the summer, you could. He said that's only a 6-week season anyway, really. He said you could get much better. But you got to commit to it. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to play games and I'm only going to show up, you know, once every 2 weeks at the training. If you commit to it.
Well, and I think how most teams use that off season is, you know, if you're struggling with your left hand or if you're struggling shooting the ball, that has to be corrected in the off season because you don't have time in the regular season to do that.
You don't have time to do player development hardly during the regular season, you know?
Yep, you really don't. And so that's how, and like, I think like, every former athlete, myself included, wishes like, oh, if I would have just committed myself a little bit more.
I know. If I'd have just done this and developed this move or whatever it was.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, that's the difference now is when you see some of these kids that have really put the time in, their ability to handle the ball or shoot the ball at young ages, you know. That's just sitting there. That's repetition.
That's repetition.
And it
takes about 30 seconds of watching these kids to know who can play and who, you know, what level they're at. I mean,
exactly.
Literally, you could ask them to do five things. I was just having this conversation today as well with somebody. I said, after five drills, if you had them shoot 3 3-pointers for you, a couple 15-footers, and go right and left of the hoop, you could tell everything about their quickness, their shot, whether they made it or not, doesn't matter. The only thing you couldn't tell is if they're a team player. But, okay, I'm pontificating again. Leah, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I look forward to seeing you around Target Center this week.
Yes, I look forward to it too. Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Leah B. Olson on News Talk 830 WCCO. You really could do. I'll explain exactly what I mean. 30 seconds. I can tell you if a kid can play basketball or not when we come back. If you just did this with a kid, if you had him shoot 3 3-pointers and they gave you the ball and said, go as hard as you can to the right, go as hard as you can to the left. Okay, take the ball from the top of the key, take 2 dribbles, stop, and shoot a 15-footer to your left, to your right. In those 5 shots, you probably have a really good idea of how good an offensive player this kid can be because you'd be able to see if they can dribble with their right hand and their left hand. You'd be able to see how soft their shot is. You'd be able to see all those things if you just did those, 7 shots, I think, and you'd be able to see how quick they are. Now, there's things that you can't tell that are intangibles. Like sometimes that kid might, his form might be funky or something. He might be a really good shooter, and he just missed it, but he might be capable of making 5 in a row in a game. And then the other piece of it is you can't tell if they're selfish or not by doing those drills. And it's amazing, though, when you watch kids scrimmage, how quickly you can tell how selfish they are. You know, and Bud Grant used to have this thing at Vikings training camp in Mankato. And when they had inclement weather that they couldn't practice outside, he'd take them in and he'd say, let's play basketball. Now the players thought the premise of that was that they stayed in shape, right? That they were running up and down and they were getting a workout in since it was negated with whatever the weather situation was outside. But really what he was doing, because Bud was a basketball player at one point in time too, was he was watching how they played basketball because he wanted to see who would set a screen, who would make the pass, who would hustle down the floor, who was willing to get dirty to get the rebound, who was the person that understood the situation when they needed to take the shot. All those things he measured by watching them play basketball, but he didn't tell the players that. He let them just play and he let them think that it was just a free-flowing pickup game. And I thought, that's pretty good because you can learn a lot by watching people play basketball, can't you? And you can. Minnesota Twins made news today. They signed Chris Archer, a pitcher in his prime. He was outstanding, an all-star for Tampa. And since then, he's had some injuries. He's been traded, moved around a little bit, but he was still on the market. So they got him for $3.5 million. I know that seems like not very much. It's kind of a bargain with some incentives, and they'll see if he can pitch. I don't know when his first outing will be for the Twins, probably next week sometime. But the beat goes on. When we come back, how about the St. Paul Saints? They're still in play, right? Yes, they are. We'll visit with Derek Shearer about how spring training lines up for them and how they know what kind of a team that they have when they don't even know who's going to be on that team. All that and much more straight ahead on this edition of Sports to the Max. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Aha! Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.